Welcome back to another podcast, the Bailing, Scaling and Barbecue podcast. I'd like to thank everyone who's listened recently. Had a huge spike last week on the hunting dog situation, the do's and don'ts. So a real big thank you to everyone who jumped on and helped out with that. That was so, I've had an overwhelming amount of messages for people who just asking simple questions and don't be afraid to send them in. That's why we do it. I had some fantastic questions, and yeah, that's why I do it. It's basically to help beginners, and yeah, so overwhelming. And I'd like to also thank everyone who messaged me. Had some tragic news last fortnight about Luke Wells, a very good mate of mine, and tragically his life was cut short in the car accident. I struggle to talk about, to be honest. So Luke was a top bloke, and sadly, I've actually got some bad news. Even more bad news was Luke's car was in the police station squad yard where the investigation was, and I've just been told by Blake a few hours ago that some prick has stolen Luke's gear, hunting gear, drones, cameras, but most likely the main thing has been stolen was the dog gear. Blake and the family really want that stuff back. So if you're on that Gyroway, Tamworth, Inverell, all the way up to Port Macquarie, and you're on Marketplace and you see hunting gear, please contact the Wells Adventures on Instagram, or even just message me. I will help. I'll do everything I can. So tragic news with the boys from Wells Adventures. Oh, like I said, I'm not going to go into it, guys. I'm too emotional about it. It's destroyed me. I do have some more other big news, which I've kind of put off for a little while. Which it's hard to explain. I'm sorry, Maddie. I know you're there. Well, I'll get to you in 2 seconds. But I am trying to. Well, I'm not trying. I am doing. So coming of next year, I will be doing a guiding with my family members, my brother and my old boy. We're going to take up a place up in Cape York. That's all I'm going to give you in the information of whereabouts. So if you want a hunt where you can shoot as many pigs as you want, scrub bulls, obviously there's a fee there. You want to have the week of your life, catch big barra and constantly. Give me a message and I can send you some details. So it's a beautiful area, 800,000 acres, massive place. I've been there a fair bit. It's a beautiful spot. There's no other place like it. So if you want to get involved and you want to come along, I'll be your guide. Fatty old me, I'll walk you around the place and we'll shoot some pigs, and I'll also put you on some barra. But in saying that, we're going to be doing a gold standard safari. So great food, beers, the lot. So if you want to get involved, send me a message and I will give you an email and we'll talk through that way. So all right, I'll shut up. One last thing. The boys from Blake from Wells Adventures has told me that they will be some kind of fundraiser for mental health. We're still trying to work it out. Blake's just talking to his family. This is from Luke's wishes, I believe. Luke always wanted to be a big advocate for mental health. So I'm going to be sharing that very, very soon. Whenever that comes out, I'm going to give the biggest plug for that. So I'll stop talking now because I'm going to get myself in trouble. But righto, first thing, how are you, Maddie?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. Pretty devastated. It's such disappointing news about Luke. I didn't know him, but you just hate to hear things like that happen to people. So it's condolences to the family out there for sure. And just and then some bastard Nick and everything. That's just some people are just low lives. Yeah. You just can't. Yeah. What more can you say?
Absolutely. It's devastating, and hopefully someone can catch these guys and yeah, I feel for the family at the moment. It's just one of those things. But for everyone, I didn't really do an intro for poor Maddie. Maddie's the guest of the Australian Hunting and Beyond podcast. Maddie is a great friend of mine. Maddie's just got the highest regard. I just got so much regard for you, mate. You're such a great speaker, great podcaster. I think you're my go-to guy if I don't understand something. So I always ask you.
Mate, the check's in the mail, so I appreciate the wrap.
Well, it's either you or Dan from Eureka Outdoor. If I don't understand something, I just send either you or him a message, and I'll just be like, oh, yep, cool. This is it. So, yeah, mate, how you been?
Man, I've been good. Just busy. You know what it's like, just flat out. So can't complain. Just having a ball, and lucky enough to get out a couple of times in the school holidays that we've just had. We're a bit different. We're a week behind you guys up there in Queensland. So done that. But, mate, yeah, just living the dream at the moment. So it's all exciting stuff from my end, and end up picking up a thermal. So I got my thermal binocular. So, yeah, mate, I'm 40 at the end of the month. So it's getting up there, and yeah, it's been on the list for a while, and just want to dip my toe in the water there and have a bit of a play with them. So I just bit the bullet and jumped on it. So I'm not gonna lie. First night I got it, I snuck down the local paddocks spotting some cows from a long way away and range finding them too. I was just like, man, this tech's awesome. I love technology, like you know, but man, it's good.
It's phenomenal. I love it. What brand did you go with, mate?
Mate, I ended up Ben from Hunt the Night had a super deal on one of the Hick micros. So it was the GQ 35 with the laser range finder on it, and it was just, you know, I think it was $3,300. It was just too good a deal to pass up on. So I just went, yeah, look, you know, jump on it, grab that, and yeah, we're on. So stars aligned.
good old tax return. How good's that?
Mate, it was that. I had to twist the wife's, you know, arm a little bit more because I was like, oh, she's like, geez, there's a little bit more money than what you got back from tax. And I was like, I'm 40. Come on. Like, you know, not going to have an outlandish party or anything like that.
Nah, it's a good birthday present to yourself, mate. 40 is a good milestone. So, you know, you deserve it. That's the way you look at it.
I'll pass her. I'll get her to call you.
No, it's all right. My missus is not liking me too much at the moment. I'm spending it. I've just got this bow hunting obsession right now. So it's you know, I bought a bow, bought the arrows, buy the target, it's just something it's a rabbit warren. And like I went out for my first hunt last weekend, and I didn't have any success, but I had a ball. I didn't even care. I did care, but because one of the boys got a goat, I didn't care that I didn't get anything. It was just so good to go around camp. And we had a little bit of phone signal, so it was even better. So we all went off in our own different directions, and I just turned my phone off because it's like, I'm out here in the paddock, I'm concentrating on what I'm doing. And I'd walked the opposite way, away from town, down into a valley where it's just really hard. The signal's not very strong. And I didn't see a thing. I thought I did, but I didn't. And I had the wind in my back. So I took the option where I just thought, well, this is okay. It's not a big deal. It's the other guys have got a better chance because we saw two goats. We saw a deer. It could probably be one, you know, hopefully one of the boys has success. And I just thought, well, no one's been down that way because of the wind. And my idea was, well, I'll cut across the mountain and then I'll cut back and the wind will be in my face. So, you know, a bit more hiking, but it is what it is. So, you know, I didn't have any success, but I had really great experiences where once that wind did change, I could sneak up right onto those animals. And, there was one kangaroo I would have been about 5 meters from. And I was just sat there for about a minute. Didn't do anything, just watched him, and then I made a bit of a sound and I just went, and he stood up and said, oh crap, you're there, and just took off. So it was a pretty cool moment, but it was just something a bit different. So you know, one of those things. But I just got a g'day, Frank. Thanks for the question. What bow and pan?
Oh, Salami King. He's here.
Frank, I got a bear adapt, I believe it's called bear adapt. So, and I've got it at 50 pound. I have bad shoulders, mate. My shoulders are pretty bad. And, it's 50 pound will be it for me. I think maybe 70 when I get a bit stronger and I get a lot more practice in, but for 50 for now, the Brandon who shot the goat, he's using 70. He's using 70 pound and the footage he showed us of him getting the goat, it just worked perfectly. He was shooting a bear as well. That goat didn't take three steps. It was perfect heart shot, straight through the shoulder, just went straight through it. It was just perfect. So that's my only fans page. Yeah. Mate, how'd you go with your your school holidays? Because our last conversation on your podcast, you're telling me that you only hunt in school holidays or on a weekend if you could sneak out. How'd you go?
Man, it was good. I had typical kids. My little ones, the twins, they're teething at the moment. And the rule at daycare is if they get a fever, they've got to get sent home, and then they're out the next day. So I had a 4-day trip lined up, which turned into 3 days and traveling half a day each day. So I got one full day out there hunting. But look, it is what it is, and you know, I wouldn't change a thing. So I got away. Went down the Snowies. Couple of state forests there. I hit Manus and Maragal North, and had a look around there. Saw deer both times. It's just one of those things. Like where I was the first day in Manus, I got onto deer very quickly, but it's just so thick. Like we were sort of across a gully, sort of glassing across, and it was only 40 meters, probably 50 meters at best. By the time I saw this deer walking along the trail, got the rifle up, I sort of got the back end and just disappeared and went behind a large gum tree, and then it was it. It was bright white too, and there was just nothing. Like it was just gone. So, but didn't know I was there. So that was the positive. And yeah, that's just a part of hunting. So I'll tell you what, Manus State Forest, if you haven't been there, Jesus, it is hilly. It is tough work. It's good fun, but like, man, it is just really putting pressure on the legs, which that was a nice challenge. It was good to see, test out how fit I've, I've been working on the fitness a lot and training a fair bit more, which has been good. So that was really pleasing to see that it sort of paid off, and it needed to there, because I tell you what, man, it's silly.
How'd your knee hold up?
No, good. Yeah, and knee's been good. It's I don't think it was probably at the stage, if I did it 3 days in a row, I would have been like cooked. But it was compared to the hunt during the rut when it got very ordinary very quickly. This time was far better. But in saying that, I've been sort of running, 7 to 10 Ks at least once a week, if not more, as a minimum, and back into the gym. So that's been, it all helps. Like I noticed a big difference. The more you do, the stronger the body feels, and the better and faster you recover, and easier you can do things. So that's a plus.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like when you come back from a hunt, like for me, for example, this week, come back from a hunt, and because I was waking up early there, I wake up early anyway most times, but I was waking up even more early. So today, for example, I woke up at 5 and I was just like, all right, let's go for a jog. And it's like, it's all because of the hunt, because it was like, all right, body clock's changed. I feel great. I've got out. I've got that fresh air. Even though I've had a pretty horrible 2 weeks with mental health due to, poor old Luke, it's like, all right, let's get the sunshine and let's get out and keep the ball rolling, so to speak. Do you ever feel like that after a hunt? Or
I probably don't, because I don't sleep. I'll be laying in the swag and I'll be, lucky to get a good hour solid. I'll be just in and out and just super excited to get out there. And, I think that comes on the back that I don't get out as much as I'd like to, in the sense that there's nothing really close. So when it's such a big event and it's, it resonates a lot more with me at how great it is to get out there for those few days. And, but mind you, I should say, by the second or third day, I'm missing the kids and I want back. Yeah. But then I get back and I go, geez, I want to hunt. Like, it's so funny. But I just, the night before driving down, when I'm there, I'm just on edge. I'm just so pumped and so excited for it. It's bloody awesome. But no, I don't have that. I don't wake up before when I get back. Usually I get back and I'm that buggered because I haven't slept that I want to crash out and don't get the chance with toddlers though.
I don't know how you do it, man. I've got a 4-year-old here and she's pretty good. Like she sleeps really, really well. When my 7-year-old comes to stay, it's a different story because she wakes up at 5 and it's horrible. But normally if those two are together, wake up at 5 or 6, it's going to be a long day. And I don't know how you do it with twins. It's just, credit to you. So,
man, you know what? Now at the moment, they are so good. Touch wood. Yeah. But the first 6 months they weren't. They were really bad. But tonight, as I said to you, the wife's away and she has been for the last couple of nights, and it's just me running the show with all three. And they're the 3-year-old and the 2 1-year-old twins, and they're all asleep and down, and just it's so much easier now. It's it's a really nice stage where they're at, and being able to interact, and my daughter's taken the first couple of steps. Like they're just priceless moments. You sit there and I get excited. I really want them to grow up so I can take them hunting, get them out there. But then I don't want to, because it's such a good age and they're having so much fun. And I was talking to Zach from Hunting Connections about, taking kids out and how much fun it is. And it's just awesome. Like it's so much fun. Oh, speak of the devil. How much fun it is with the kids. And, that's just such a – you don't get that back. And I sit there and go, these little ones are learning, and just watching them be able to do things and new skills. I just don't want to miss any of that. And but then I want them to get up to do more. Sort of that, contradiction, but it's one of those things that I don't want to rush it, but I do. Like it's hard to describe.
Yeah, it's a hard one. My family, there's 3 boys and a girl, and I was from a very young age just like, will you take me, please. From an early age, it was cane hunting with dad with pig dogs. It was just walking river systems with dad. It was just always what I wanted. But it was a few times there he'd like, no, you got to stay home this time. And you kind of could just tell that it was just he needed a moment to himself. Like 4 kids, I don't know how mum and dad did it. 4 kids, it's just I've got one here full time and another one that comes and goes every weekend. It's just like, it's so full on, kids. So I take them fishing, and I think that'll be it for a while until I can, I don't know. It's my patience is more than anything. I think when I've got dogs running around, it's a different story. So it's like, nah, just. Talking about tips. Here we go. Cody Gearin, the man who actually hunts with his kids. Any tips on hunting fast travel? I can't read tonight. Any tips on hunting fast traveling fellow bucks? Matty, any tips?
Mate, I haven't even got a deer, so I'll leave that one to you. But Cody loves to taunt me by sending videos of all these deer that he sees while he's working and just chilling in a paddock. So I always appreciate those videos, Cody. Just, I sit there and go, you bastard.
He sent me the one the other day. You probably got it as well. And that fellow buck walking up on the back of the dam. And I just like, who else in Australia, other than Brett Meldrum, who's not far from Cody, can go to work, see a fellow buck, go, oh, look, I'll shoot him or I'm not going to shoot him. Go and walk out, get his gun, stop doing what he's doing with cattle or whatever he was doing. Goes and shoots the buck. And next thing we know, we get a picture of a video of him mincing the deer. It's just like, you just got no idea how lucky you are.
And somehow he just manages to get on every podcast on top of that. Like, where does he find the time? That's what I want to know.
I call him the podcast slut because it's just what he is. He's just a podcast slut. And the meme, well, I'm not going to call him the meme king anymore. I'm just going to leave that one. I know that's going to prick him up a bit. He won't like that. So I don't know. I think Zach from the Hunting Connection podcast has some cracking memes as well. So I'd love to shit
a meme off. Are you calling it? Let's call a meme off. Let's get it going.
I don't touch them because I just my sense of humor is different to everyone else's. So, Frank, it's a good point. Shotgun from helicopters. That's a topic we probably will talk a little bit about tonight because it's disgusting. I've been listening to your podcast a lot, mate, recently. I loved your one with Jason, Hunt Catch Cook. He's a I'm a big fan of his. He's a man. God, he does everything I love. Cooking, hunting.
He's very good, and his variety's good too. That's what I really like about it. That he does a lot with a lot of different game, and then the seafood on top. And you know, there's something there for everyone. If you whether you're a fisho or a spearo or a hunter, like there's something there that someone will be able to grab a hold of, and they're pretty easy. And you know, the recipes are good. And yeah, no, I mean he's been at it a long time and deserves everything he gets. He does very well, so it's always good having a chat to him and bouncing ideas off him too. And I've used a couple of his recipes now, and they are very simple to follow and go good. So that's it's always nice when you do that, because recipes sometimes I find a hit and miss. Like you can get one and you can follow it to a T, and something won't turn out that well. But I've found most of his are pretty spot on, so they're pretty good.
I listened to the episode and I was like, he talked about the sausages when he went through a stage of the sausages, and I was like, instantly straight away, because I bought that sausage filler. I went back and I just watched a couple. I'm like, oh, just ideas, you know, camel sausages, all these different sausages he does. It's just really, really interesting. And I love when you see the video of him sitting in his cold room and he's talking to the camera and he's cutting something up. I was just like, I just want your cold room. I just want the same setup that you got. It's just
His setup is awesome. Like the last time we spoke, not this time, the one before, he showed us his outdoor kitchen, and it is just amazing. You know, it's the stuff that you sit there and you go, that's if you had to create one, that's what you'd want to create. It looks amazing and just functional and just such a great space. So he's got it well and truly set up there for him to do what he does. And you can tell it's just such a passion for him, and it's great. It's great when you see that enthusiasm and passion coming from people. So I think that's the key to anything, is that when you can see when there's a genuine passion and they're so invested in something, and you can tell that with Jace.
Yeah. No, he's amazing guy. And I really loved that episode. It was really good. I loved hearing about the camels, and I've never tried camel. Something I'd always love to just taste. I think Zach Williams from the Hunting Connection podcast, I was talking to him one day, and he said that camel was the Wagyu of the desert. And I was like, oh, how cool is that? And I was like, I've got to try it.
I've had it once, I think, when I was up in the NT doing some traveling around there, and it's right up there. That and buffalo, all that crocodile. I think we even had emu up there. It was like all delicious. Yeah, they're all different, but it's hard to describe. The flavors are all different. I was talking to Zach about this the other day. The flavors are different things, and you know, we talked about the strong flavors that come through different meats and different animals, and that's really interesting as well. When you, it's hard to describe the differences between the different flavors, and I think if you go into it with an open mind, you will thoroughly enjoy most of it. There hasn't been too many that I've sort of gone, oh, that's a strong, repulsive flavor. They've all been really nice. I suppose that also comes down to the cook too. Like if you're, if you know how to work that meat, that's, one of those things you'll be able to really produce something good at the end of the day with any sort of protein, I suppose. I do draw the limits at some things, but we spoke about eating feral cats I won't be doing that. So.
No, I'm good. It's something I'll never try. I did a I better check me pronunciation, the ragu. So today I woke up not early, I just normal time, went to work, and I came back from work at lunchtime and chucked a venison shoulder in the slow cooker. And a lot of people are like, it dries out and stuff. I found it really, really nice. All I did was put a pasta sauce with it, a little bit of stock, a bit of sugar just to counteract that tomato acid, garlic and salt and pepper. And then I just put carrots and onions in a couple hours to go, and it came up really nice. So I put a bit of bacon in, fried bacon, just to get that little bit of fat through it. But it came up, the girls ate it like it was nothing. The daughter just said to me, "Oh, Dad, this just tastes like chicken." And I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, obviously that's a good thing if she's thinking it's chicken." So,
isn't it nice when the kids do that? Like I did that the other night. I cooked up some barra, and I think we had sort of four pieces. And I reckon if I got 3/4 of a piece, I was doing well. The two boys, man, they smashed it. And I was sort of looking at these fillets and looking at my 1-year-old son and just going, there is no way that could even fit in your stomach. But somehow he's managed to get it. He was just machining and hoovering it down, but it's good. You sit there and go, well, it's healthy, it's good for them. And the fact that they're eating it and not being fussy about something like that, you've done well in that cook. So because it's kids can get pretty damn fussy.
Okay. Frank's just mentioned something that I didn't know about. Frank's just said, carrots will take away the acid for you. No need to add sugar there if you've added carrots. There you go. I didn't know that.
So, mate, the thing about Frank is that whenever I have a question, it doesn't matter what it's about, he seems to have an answer. It can be about the most random thing. I'll ring him up and he has the answer for me. And there's just proof. Like, who would have known that, Maybe rabbits may eat carrots, don't they?
Well, that's it. Bugs Bunny did. Yeah, not anymore. But you got a couple of comments here. I don't know if you do. You see the comments? I'm not sure if you do.
I only if they pop up on the screen.
Oh, so. That's me. That's me doing it. So, yeah. Cody, of course, Cody's listening. He just wants to get another shout out. So, Australian's favorite.
favorite the Aussie's favorite.
I'll read it for the listeners. So, Cody Gear, and everyone who doesn't know Cody, is the I call him the podcast slut. So, Australia's favorite hunting podcast guest/podcast slut isn't afraid of a meme off against the Aussie Sparrow, who is Zach from the Hunting Connection podcast, if people don't know. Like I said, everyone, this is a different kind of podcast tonight. It's just me having fun with some mates. So, it's a good old chat. So, I was going to ask you, what gun are you using for your state forest hunt?
I've got a Weatherby Vanguard, the Meat Eater edition in .308. Far better caliber than that .270, Zach. I know Cody will back me up on that. I think I'm going to sell it. Only because it's got the floor plate. It hasn't got a magazine. And I just find, especially in some of the state forests, it's just a bit of a pain in the backside dropping out all the time, whereas if you just drop the mag out, it's just so much easier when you're moving through an exclusion zone or along a road or something like that. So I've been tossing and turning, and I think I'm pretty confident now I'll sell that, and then I'll stick with the .308, I'd say, but I don't mind the caliber, but I'm not 100% sure what I want next, but it's something with a detachable magazine, that's for sure, because that's just been a bit annoying.
Just not a 270.
Just not 270, no.
No, my old boy's got 270, and I see all these memes about, you know, Katie and Zach having their 270 and their 308 and their 6.5 Creedmoor, you know, meme off, and I just don't get the whole meaning of it all. It just goes over my head. Like, I understand the 6.5 Creedmoor, you know.
Hold on. That is a great caliber. It's one of my favorite.
I agree with it. The best hunter I've seen was when I was guiding, was an ex-military man, infantry soldier, and he had a 6.5 Creedmoor. And he ended up he was a colonel in the army. I'm looking at his book right now. It's just over there. And the amount of pigs he smoked with that thing while running away, and he always used to have a cat. Like, the way he talked was just perfect. It was that husky, deep voice, man. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of that Tom Selleck kind of feeling you got off him, slash that military feeling. And then I just called him the Colonel. And I was like, and the Colonel just turned to me one day and goes, "Never run from the Colonel. I'll always get one on your back." And I just burst out laughing. I'm just like, he just shot this pig. It's just full sprint out of the swamp, and he just smoked him. And I was like, how? Like, if it was me, it would have been, you know, I would have been miles away from it. But yeah, he was just a fan. He used a 6.5 Creedmoor. It's just a beautiful shot. So yeah,
It's all a bit of fun. I don't think it matters what you shoot, really. As long as the caliber's good to take the game down ethically, there shouldn't be really an issue. Like, everyone has their own, you know, perception or what they enjoy to shoot, and, you know, good on them. As long as, I said, it's just ethical for the game you're taking, then so be it. But it is a bit of fun, and I'm very open. I shoot the 6.5 Creedmoor, and I haven't got a man bun, and you know, just to prove that I haven't. But you know, that's,
I'm waiting for a novel to come up the side with Cody writing something.
But it's all a bit of fun. But mate, they either way, like, some of the guns now are just, geez, they're nice. I think that's the hardest thing, is trying to work out what I'm going to go to next, because there's so many good guns. It's pretty exciting times, to be honest.
Sorry, buddy, had to do it.
It's like that, is it? Okay, no worries.
Well, I think that's Katie Gearin's last podcast was the hunting campfire. That was the last time you'll see Cody on any podcast.
You might hear him coming up shortly, I think.
Oh, is he coming on yours?
Just tune in Monday.
Oh, Cody, what are you doing, mate?
I'm getting desperate with your guests, obviously.
There we go. Shots fired.
That was a 6.5 Creedmoor shot, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I agree that the guns coming out these days are just beautiful. I looked at the Weatherby a while back for the 308, and that's what I thought. Well, that's a nice, but I didn't realize it had that magazine. My Kimber 308's got the pull, you know, the normal pull out magazine, and the only problem is the 3-shot. So I always like having 4 or 5, but the old boy's got a 270 Ruger. And that's a drop-down mag too. And that's 4 shots. And it's just that extra shot just makes a huge difference. Having that fourth shot, you know, in case you get a mob of deer or, for example, the other week we had a wild dog come out. And sometimes you need a few shots, you know, because you miss one or blah, blah, blah. I'm all the guns coming out. I'll look at a Tigger next. I was looking at something like a 243.
Well, that's what I've got. No.
You've got, yeah.
Look, I got the T3X in 243, and mate, it is a beautiful gun. Definitely a fan. And that's probably one of the hard ones for me, is do I want to go another one? That's the thing, because it's sort of like, it's such a good gun. I've got no faults with it whatsoever.
Do you take that deer shooting?
I do. Look, that's the thing. Depending where, it is probably the gun I do prefer. If I had to take either one, I have been taking the 308 lately, but the 243 is definitely the way to go. I just more comfortable to carry around. I've Cerakoted it like a burnt bronze, so, and then it's got the camo stock anyway, so it just looks really good. Weight wise, it's nice, it's well balanced. The only thing I would say is the new Meat Eater one that's come out by Weatherby. They fixed all the things that I'm wanting in my 308. They've got the detachable magazine. They've got, you know, the gun looks really good. It's got, you know, an adjustable rise on it for your cheek to get it the right height. It's just a bit more customizable compared to the one I've got, which is just sort of a molded sort of stock standard thing. Just feels a bit tinny. Oh, look, it is a good gun, don't get me wrong, but you know, I do think I'll probably go down the path of maybe a ticker. But then, you know what, the Howler super lights, geez, like 308 and 6.5 Creedmoor, either one, a very, very light gun. I think it comes in at like 2.1 kilos. You pair that up with one of the lighter weight optics, geez, that's going to be nice carrying around up and down mountains. So it's sort of, you know, it's that trade-off. If I'd love to win the lotto and just, you know, buy them all and just have I'd have a gun. I'd be like one of those. I watch Backfire TV all the time and him over in the States, and he's got just – his gun safe is a room, and he just walks in, and I just, like, oh, my God.
I know a few of those guys like that, safe space, not walk-in safes as such, but my godfather's one of them. He's got, I wouldn't know how many guns. I couldn't even give you a number, but he's a gun nut. So normally if I, you know, talking about with someone with him, what should I do? He's the man to go to because he breaks things down a lot. He's a mechanic mechanic by trade, and he'll break down and look at things mechanically wise. So I couldn't tell you off by heart what he told me about the tickers and stuff, but just pointed out some really key points, and I was like, okay, that's quite interesting. I end up going with the Kimber anyway, which is what he didn't tell you. I didn't even tell him about that, but I think I was looking at the ticker. I really wanted the Weatherby. But I think the magazine was something I looked at, and I want an adjustable trigger. I really like triggers, so but I don't know. I think I'll be getting another bow before I get another gun next. I don't know. It's something
I'm looking at one at the moment because I want to do bow fishing, and I was talking about this with Zach because he's a bit of a guru with the bow, as we all know, and I'm just shopping around. I don't want to spend too much because I didn't think about it. I'm glad he talked about, you know, walking through the water, getting mud and crap on it. And because originally I was thinking, I'll just use my bow, just chuck, you know, all the gear on it. And now that's made me think, I don't want to do that. But then I don't want to go and shell big money out if it's going to be, you know, getting muddy and wet and the like. So I'm sort of been jumping on a few of the Facebook groups and watching what's sort of, you know, popping up, and I'll grab something cheap and just have a dedicated bow for fishing, and I think that'll be the way to go. But it's just to get that through the keeper with the missus as well. It's always a difficult task, especially after buying the thermal.
give me another question just to think then. But back to your bow fishing thing, I was thinking about it the other day coming home from our hunt. The boys were shooting carp from the bank. And then they jump in a canoe and go get the arrow and the carp. And there's just so many carp in the spot. They just basically went spot to spot picking them up. And I was thinking, one, you put you're putting the bow in the sand, blah, blah, blah. Apex have got a nice little cheap bow, which looks like it'd probably be perfect for that. You know, a nice little easy little rod. Basically something you can put on your backpack, walk down to hop in the kayak, go for a flick. There's a carp, it's not taking me line, smack. I just thought that's a great way of doing it, but I wouldn't do it with my expensive one. My next question was, with your thermal, is it big enough to fit in your chest pockets or a pocket for when you go out hunting?
Mate, I haven't tried yet because I only got it on Tuesday night. I've had it for a whole 2 days, and I've been pretty flat out. But I'd say it would be. It's pretty small. I really actually like the design of it, just really easy to sit in the hand. Contour as well. It's got a little wheel for zoom in and out. Pretty easy to work. I haven't spent a great deal of time with it. I just, you know, ran down the paddocks to check it out. But real simple and was pretty standard. So I'd say it would. It's been pretty hot down here though, and I have like today was 36, so I'm not throwing a jumper on the jacket on to test it out at the moment. It's it's too warm. So, but look, man, I'm super happy with it so far, and you know, it's
because I listened to the Hunters Campfires, and I'm pretty sure I think Mark he's taken a thermal out now, even in his day hunts. Was that with your podcast with him?
He did mention it. I have heard a couple other episodes where he's talked about it. They're essentially saying it's doing a similar thing to a dog, like indicated, because you can pick them up. So, well, that was my take on what they said anyway, but it makes sense. You know, if you're getting into a gully and you're using it to pick up a heat source, it's got to be a bit of a win. We did talk about it actually, because we were talking about the rules of how you would, you know, whether you disconnect it if you had a scope on, whether you'd have to have quick release and take it off, or, you know, how that would translate being after, you know, shooting light. So which actually, that's an interesting one. Did you see DPI posted yesterday, maybe the day before, hunting tips? I think really great initiative. You know, covering three different hunting tips. Yeah. But then they did one, I think their second one was on hunting blinds.
Oh.
And I'm slightly confused because I didn't think you could use a hunting blind in a state forest. But I do not know the answer. Someone out there might. I'm definitely going to look into it. But it was something that popped up. And I know a few people asked on the post, and there wasn't a response the last time I checked. And I know the Hunters Campfire Boys actually, they posted on it. I think they said like interesting, because that was.
Because I've heard them talk about tree stands, I believe, a while back. I'm not sure. That might have been your episode as well. Or because we're talking about trail cams and state. They were talking about trail cams and state forest. And I think someone mentioned tree stands. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. Like I personally couldn't do it. I couldn't sit still for longer than an hour. That would do my head in. But it's very interesting, you know, to have blinds. Okay, Cody's onto it. So here we go.
No good.
Blinds are fine, but tree stands are no last. I checked due to wanting to damage pines.
Well, that makes sense. It being a forestry and a business, the blind thing is interesting because we talk about having to wear an item of blaze orange. That would sort of null and void having, you know, if you're sitting in a blind,
unless your blind's got orange on top of it all.
Well, is that a requirement of the blinds?
Probably have to, you know, like, because shooting in the dark, not dark, but shooting, you know, at a camouflage object, it's obviously, you know, you never hope it ever happens, but it's a very, it's a topic. It's a rabbit hole, that one, because if they say that deer can't see orange, then why can't you just make an orange tree stand? That's why.
Yeah.
Probably could get away with it, I reckon.
But
then also, well, they got rid of the e-bikes, didn't they?
I think the e-bikes, the issue was that being in a state forest and on roads, that it needs to be a registered vehicle. So, that's a lot. That's pretty big down here in New South Wales. There's always, whether it be in an electric motorbike or electric bike or even the electric scooters or even just a motorbike, that it has to be registered, have lights, have mirrors, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's the biggest problem with the e-bikes is I don't think they have that ability just yet, or that's the trickier part of it. And then the other one would be moving the rifle around. Obviously, safe storage when traveling, it's got to be out, you know, cannot be visible and things like that. So it'd be a lot more difficult on a bike. It can be done. There are some cases out there. I've seen some pretty good ones that sort of mount there as a holster and cover the whole thing up. But it would be a bit of a mission just to get
interesting one, isn't it? Just a whole rabbit.
Like, if you have to wear blaze orange, and I'm all for it, let's be clear there, because, you know, we don't want an accident. No deer's worth anyone losing their life, that's for sure. Yeah. But if you have to have orange on your person, then for me, if you've got that but you're hidden in a blind, that yeah. is a bit of an issue. But, I mean, you could then make the argument too that you could be walking through some of the thick stuff and, you know, I know there's parts I've been in that definitely no one's seeing you from 3 meters away, even with, you know, you could be covered in blaze orange from head to toe. So, yeah. It is a bit of a rabbit hole. Could be. I understand why it probably, you know, I thought it wouldn't be, but yeah. if it's allowed, hey, go for it. I don't know if I'd sit yeah. in one though. I reckon I'd be nervous sitting in a camouflage, you know, just hide and people can't see you. Because it's not even that they're shooting at you, it's just they haven't seen you. And you could be in the backdrop, you know, potentially. And yeah, I don't know. It just that gets me nervous, that one, that's for sure.
No, it's personally, I don't think it's a method I could never use, unless I'm in America, you know, going with people that do it. But I just couldn't, the method I just can't see working in Australia very, very well. You know, especially in a state forest, because things change, like deer, just their movements are, you can't tell me a deer is going to do the same thing every day, you know, every time. And like, obviously there's some, you know, does that will do, you know, in hinds, they'll do the same thing regularly and in certain spots, but stags are just, They're random as hell. But anyway, it's an interesting topic. So
yeah, it's interesting you say that. So I had trail cams out for a couple of months, and they got some pretty good footage on them coming back, but there was not anything there that had a pattern. There was not one there that I went, okay, that deer is coming through every second day at 10 a.m. There was literally, you know, in 3 months, sometimes it picked up the same animal twice, maybe three times. So, like, that's once a month. So to sit there and not do anything, it's a tricky one. But hey, what do I know? I haven't got a deer yet. So maybe I need to do that, because I get bored and need to move around. So that's
I think that's just the way to hunt, you know, aim for food sources, water sources, you know by now. It's just, you've seen plenty of deer. It's just taking the next step. You know, you nearly got one the other day. So, anyway, it's just one of those things. Lachlan has written. Sorry, Lockie, I did see your message, mate. I'm finishing that conversation. Hey, fellas, both love the shows. Keep up the good work. Matt, would you ever consider getting a gun dog for deer or getting into pigging with dogs?
Oh, yes, for sure. I thoroughly enjoy all types of hunting. So whilst I haven't gone out for pigs, I'm hell keen to do it and learn. And as for the deer, that's just such a win. I've got two dogs, and they are not hunting dogs. Like, one's a German Shepherd. They're both big, sort of, you know, more guard dogs than anything. I would really like to, when they sort of, you know, pass on, that will be sort of where I will go to is get an indicating dog or a pig dog or something along those lines, because I think that's just a different element. And, you know, I say it all the time, I love all aspects of hunting and learning something new. That's what keeps the flame going. I think it's, you know, what's the quote? A variety is the spice of life. So for me, whilst I do talk about deer hunting a lot, it's because there's that thrill of the chase, but I definitely love, you know, popping bunnies or chasing foxes and fishing, like, you know, all those things. Yes. You know, just being outdoors, that's just such a win. But yeah, that is definitely on the cards, probably in a little bit of the distant future, not straight away. And plus the, you know, Frank's on here and he's doing a great job with Joan, his GSP, and I see the hours that he dedicates and puts in there. I just don't think I have that with the little ones just yet too. And I don't want to invest in this great indicating dog and they just become house pets. I think that's just pointless. So it'll be when I have the time to dedicate to the dogs properly and, and really make sure that I do everything I can to give me the best chance for those dogs to be successful. And, you know, mate, most definitely. Thanks for the question.
Yeah, great question, Lockie. It's – I love hunting with dogs. It can be super rewarding, but it's also can be super frustrating. And the video I just put, the podcast I just put out last week, the do's and don'ts. And one of the don'ts is if you don't have time, don't get dog. It's so simple. I've got a job now where I can come home and take the dogs for a walk with my client. Like I can. My client loves dogs and he always says, oh, can we do something with the dogs today? So that's taken me, okay, we're going to go to a forest close by home, and that's where we're going to work on recall. And, I'm starting to get the idea. Have you ever watched Clark McGee's YouTube channel?
Yeah, love it.
That's my goal, is to get a dog like his, spotting deer, the whole lot. It's just, I look at Remy from Tony Gillihan's YouTube and you just go, wow. Indicating dog / Clark McGee's dog, where you go, all right, go get the pig. That's obviously becoming a good dog person, where you understand your dog. They've got the two dogs at the back right now and they're just showing so much promise. And it's so frustrating that, like, I didn't take them last week because it was a paid property. I'm going to a state forest in a few weeks' time. It's like, right, well, I haven't got an older dog to teach them, but we'll just do indicating stuff. So I'm going to go hunt goats and pigs. If they smell something, I know what they're like on pigs already. They're terrified, but they do actually follow a scent and, let natural instincts take advantage. So it's so exciting. It's like just all I want to do is do the dog stuff, because like today I just worked with them in the backyard and it was just so satisfying just for 5 minutes. I'm keen to see that when it happens.
I haven't had the chance to get out and hunt over or see a dog in action, like, you know, in person. I was hoping to on the last trip with a mate down in the Snowies, and I didn't even think about it because I asked him, I said, oh, I'm really keen just to, I won't even bring the rifle, just want to watch. And the big one was, well, oh, mate, the snakes are out. I'm not chancing it, which is fair call, 100%. I wouldn't do the same. So I hadn't actually thought of that as the other option of being mindful and of snakes. And, you know, it's not like, I don't think they make dog gaiters to protect them. And I know you can do some avoidance training and things like that, but there's such an investment, and forget the money side of it. They are expensive, but forget that element, the time and the training and then the companionship too. Like it's more than just a product. Like, and I think I said it on my podcast with Frank actually talking about, you don't sit there and I'm not going to pat the thermal and say, what a good job, well done. But so it's just another different element to make it more rewarding. And, for me, that's what hunting's about, is getting out in nature, enjoying yourself, learning consistently and all the different types. And, that's where the bow came from. That's where the, me wanting to hunt state forests with a thermal, all these things, they're just so different and they're so cool. Let's be honest. Like, I don't think you can ever get bored, could you?
No. There's so much variety. Like, first bow hunt last weekend and I'm hooked. It's like, okay, different style, different methods. Where if I'm hunting with a dog, I just know we just stomp through the forest and not care because the dog's doing the work. It's totally different hunting from different methods, and I love it. It's just and I think it makes us a better hunter as well. It's if you've got your dogs there, you're looking at your dogs, you're paying attention. And coming from a rifle hunter and doing a bit of guiding, I'd have to fix myself up and go, I'm not going to stomp through the woods and make as much noise. And now where I grabbed a bow, it's like, this all makes perfect sense now, because we can actually I'm going to be super quiet, can't make a single noise. Like, for example, last weekend, there was four of us. We were going down to the river, and because we wanted to reduce the noise, we went down one at a time. And just, you know, common sense, we're all looking for the same goat. We knew she was in the area. We were kind of trying to call her in, and we bumped a deer, and no one did anything wrong. And we all spoke around at camp. I said, no one did anything wrong. That deer has just had so much pressure on her. She knew the sixth sense of something's going to try and kill me, and she took off. But, you know, old me without, you know, a rifle hunter or a dog hunter, that deer, I would never have even seen that deer. That deer would have been long gone before we even got, you know, we were probably 70 meters from her, not even that. But yeah, old me would have spooked that. So it's definitely bringing all these different elements coming in together. It's making me a better hunter as such. You know, even though I've done guiding and I've done so much different kinds of hunting, it's so addictive. I love it. And nothing better than coming home and shooting a bow after work just to release some stress.
How good is it?
I love it. It's just...
It is so much fun. It's one that I sit there and go, this is... Yeah, just getting home, throwing up the target and just, you know, letting some arrows fly. Jeez, it's fun.
Yeah. It's such a meditation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a range here. I'd love to have a property where you can just, you know, throw up a target, just go out and just shoot, like whether it be the bow, the rifle. It's just so much fun. And just, I find I learn something every time. It doesn't matter. Like I went out to Silverdale Range. It's my local, and you know, shout out to the team out there. Luke, he does such a great job. I know I've mentioned it before, and I borrowed, just for the tech side of things again, the bullet seeker, and just put it under. You know, just sits under your barrel, and as you shoot it, it gets your speeds on your bullets, and man, that was fun. Because then it was another element again. I know I've got the chronograph from David Bailey down there in Taz, but it's a different type. It was a different way to set it up, different way to do it. And I wanted to check out the speeds from both to see if there was, you know, what the variance was and the like. And then doing the rough calculations of what should be your dope and knowing that, and then having to go out and you're going to have to check it out anyway to make sure it's on, because because you know the speeds doesn't mean the drop will always be like that. And obviously conditions change, but that's super fun and challenging. And it's not just the point and shoot. And I get people might just go out there and point and shoot, but I enjoy that. But I also enjoy this other side of it too, where there's a little bit more to it. Yeah. And I find that really interesting as well.
So again
it's just so many elements to hunting, shooting, the whole thing, that you just get, you know, you'd get lost in it. And you know, I'd love to have like three or four lifetimes to do all of it that many times, because
more money.
Well, that too, but I honestly don't think you could get through all of it in one. And you know, like, there's so much to learn and so much to do. Like for me, I'd love to be able to just do it all, but reality is, I don't think anyone out there will get to do that. But yeah,
no, it's. I think that's a big reason why I do the podcast. I listen to podcasts is because of the whole, you know, your point of view, you know, Zach's point of view, you know, Cody whenever he gets his own podcast, you know, the hunting campfire. It's just, it's so many. Like, for example, Mark from the campfire, I listened to him the other day and he was talking about it. He went to a Rigby conference, and they're talking about, he said something about a gun was 50 grand. And I was just like, just to hold something like that would be, I'd never buy a gun like that, but to go and hunt an elephant and something like that, these guys wouldn't even budge to buy that, or to look at something of that caliber, which is definitely going to be 10 grand plus, and go, that's no dramas. And that's a whole new world. That's just a different section. Just like, it's so interesting to dig in down the rabbit warren.
It's one I look at and go, I'd really love to own something like a Seiko, because, you know, you just hear so many good things about them and they're so expensive. But then I would, it's that toss up because I'd want a heap of different calibers.
Yeah.
So it's so challenging to go, oh, I don't know how anyone just has one gun. Like, I have zero idea. Like, I'm nowhere near that. And I sit there and go, geez, I've got so many holes in what I would like to have and shoot with. Yeah. And yeah, so it's, there is so much. I think that's the thing for me about hunting that I love and shooting. And, it, you know, I just had Derek DeMann on from the US and him hunting in a wheelchair. Man, that's inspirational. Oh. And I just love the fact that we have that option that you can do that if you want. Yeah. And I know I've touched on it and I've been big into sports all my life and I wanted something that I can do for the rest of my life that it didn't matter what happened physically because, you know, you can't play rugby league till you're, you know, 50 years of age. You can't keep up to that elite level anyway. So it was always about something for me is what can you do where you're going to continue to learn so you don't lose interest and it doesn't matter what happens. Like you just don't know what's around the corner as we were speaking about earlier. And I think that's the thing about our sport, our, you know, hobby, whatever you want to call it. You have the ability to do it in some capacity for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, whether you lose mobility, there's, you know, there might be some obstacles, but you can do it. And for me, that's just fantastic. And I think a lot of anti-hunters, shooters, they miss that. And I don't think it's publicized enough about how inclusive our sport is. And I think that's something that, you know, when you hear someone's story like Derek, man, that's cool. He shot more deer than I have, and you know, well and truly more. And we were talking about that off air. And I was like having a giggle, going, "Man, props to you! Like, you know, you've got this massive obstacle, and you're out there getting it done better than I do, and I've got no excuse." So it's pretty funny.
Oh man, it was a great episode, especially when he was talking about the alligator. I was like, "Oh no, that's hit him with a harpoon." I was like, whoever hasn't listened, go and listen to it because it is fantastic. It's Matt's last episode just come out. It's just so good. A guy in a wheelchair, Derek from California or New Caledonia?
Hey, California.
California, yeah.
Yeah. When he was talking about that his dad's there in this boat that's getting thrashed by this alligator and he's holding onto his wheelchair and that's
it.
That's the only thing holding him on there. I was just like, that's crazy. It's different.
When I heard that, I was like, I mean, I was just like, imagine a big saltwater crocodile. That's all I kept thinking was, it's just terrifying. Anything like that, a lizard like that, I'm nowhere near that. I'm gone. I'd rather land any day of the week. So, It's not for me.
Mate, I'll tell you what, my brother just got back. They did an 8-day fishing trip up there off, I think they left from Rockhampton off the top of my head.
Yep.
And went out to a couple of islands and reefs and whatnot. And I think it was like a 24-hour boat ride out. And they got onto some fish and whatnot. But they were talking about the sharks when they were spearfishing out there. And he just said the amount they saw and the amount that were, you know, coming up and bumping fins and the like, and it's just like, man, you know, I give me snakes on land any day of the week. I do love spearfishing, but that's one thing I really struggle with always. And I've got the shark shield, or I think they're, you know, called the Ocean Guardian now or whatever, but it's a little bit of peace of mind, but you just sit there and go, oh man, it's they're a different level, and you're so vulnerable and helpless in water. And the crocodile's the same. Like we're not a great moving animal on land compared to some of the other animals. And then you put the water involved and go, man, it's a different kettle of fish again.
I don't know how you spearfish, mate. It is horrible. It's terrifying. I've done it a few times and I'll never do it again. It's just
mind the shallows when you can see the bottom, but we used to do a fair bit of deep water, and Yeah, man. When you, there was one where obviously your boat can't get right up close to rocks when you're further out. And I remember getting dropped off and having to swim like 50 meters over. And it was just 50 meters where you're looking down and it's just black. Like it's just dark and you're just looking there going, what is down there? What is watching me? What is, you know, do I look tasty? It is something I definitely, it's what got me in, well, not got me into hunting. I've always been a fan of shooting and hunting and dabbled, but it was sort of the point where I just went, I think it's time to make that switch. And it's for me, it's a fair bit safer. You know, I've seen so many people get hit with a shark or like lose a leg, and I just was like, man, I don't want that to happen to me. As much as I do love fishing and love eating fish, it's just it's a bit on the crazy side nowadays as an older fella.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not even just the animals; it's also the blacking out and the like Chumpy, the guy, the snowboarder. You know, he passed out. I had a friend on the Sunshine Coast, same thing. He lucky his mates were there. They saved him. He got to the top and he just passed back out and went back over and kept going down. It's scary stuff.
Frank calls sharks the tax man. And, you know, he's right there. One of my mates, he does the whole free diving thing, and he's been really getting into that more to help him with spearfishing. He was on the trip too, actually. He shot a stonker of a cod up there. I think it was like 15 kilos. Did very well. It's amazing how long they can hold their breath for.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen, there's a Netflix documentary at the moment. I think it's called the Longest Breath or something along those, and it's on free diving, and man, it's just a different level. It starts off with her passing out on the way up after just some ridiculous amount of time underwater and depth as well, and you know she literally passed out 5 meters from the surface. So they had to bring her up in CPR, and man, it's just, you know, the human body can do such amazing things, but there are limits that, I think you sometimes need to sit there and go, that's probably a bit too far.
Once the kids come along, it's, you need to rethink that.
Well, it's not just about you then. Like, you know, that's always in the back of my mind. As much as I love getting out hunting and things like that, I've got to come home. There's a couple of little people now that rely on me, and that's super important. You don't get that opportunity back either. And, you know, it's so important that, you know, you're around for those kids because you made that commitment by having them that they are your priority at the end of the day. So it's, and they make you a better people, I think, too. I honestly do think that you learn a lot about yourself and what your priorities are, and that changes and, you know, as you get older, I suppose. It's probably how it works.
Yeah, that's it, mate. It's a scary, scary thing. You gotta look after yourself.
Have you seen that video where this shark's coming flying up out of, and he just sticks the spear gun and he impales it?
Is that the guy? Australia guy.
I'm pretty sure it is. That is one of the scariest things I could ever imagine happening. I don't think there's some scary stuff that can happen to you, but being up on the surface and having a shark just beeline for you. I don't think there's much scarier out there. I've had some run-ins with sharks, but not that bad. And, man, it'd be hard to get back in the water, I reckon, after that.
I know a guy up in the Hinchinbrook area. He spearfishes. And have you ever been up the Hinchinbrook way, the massive jetty there?
No, I haven't.
There's a jetty there. It's about 5K. It's the sugar mill. And you see in a lot of fishing videos, a lot of guys go up there and they flick the whole area. And now guys are starting to go down and spearfish the area. There was a clip of a guy coming back up. And I think we're talking about the same clip. And as he's coming up, the bull shark's coming for him. It's like, in my mind, there's bull sharks, there's tigers. There's also crocs in that area too. And it's like the water is so murky. I used to fish there as a kid, and I remember, like, schools of barra, and there's huge lights there, and the barra get attracted to the bait fish that go to the light. And I remember always seeing just outside the light was always a red set of eyes. It's just like there's so many crocs in that area. These guys are just risking, legs and limbs and just life just for a fish. It's not for me. I can't do it. It's just good luck to them. Scary.
Each to their own is what I say. If they enjoy it and they want to do it, good luck. But yeah, sometimes there's a few things I definitely draw the line at and go, nah, that's not for me now.
That's it. So, mate, before we go, what's next for you? Any hunting trips planned? Any little things?
Yeah, got a couple of just little close ones. I do probably want to get back down the snowies for a bit. Definitely want to try and get out and use the thermal.
Yep.
I think coming in the summer, far more fishing. So looking forward to getting out and camping and fishing a fair bit more and just mix it up a bit. Like winter, I don't tend to like to fish in winter. I find the cold is not something to be on the water with, and I'd much prefer to be out hunting during that time. But as it heats up, good for scouting, for hunting, but the reality is I'd rather be taking fish. So probably that, man. Getting out there doing that, probably tuning some sort of gear and working out what's been working, what hasn't been working, what I want to change up for the next rut, and really start to unpack what I'm going to be doing. And that's getting exciting because, geez, the year's gone quick. I can't believe we're coming into the we're halfway through October pretty much, and, man, it's flying. So it'll be Christmas before we know, and then we'll be starting to think about that rut getting closer and closer and how exciting that is. So, mate, that'll be pretty much it for me. It's it's exciting times, though. There's plenty going on. There's always something going on. It's always busy. I thoroughly enjoy just the fast-paced life, that's for sure.
Yeah. Are you going to hunt the rut with a bow or a rifle, mate?
No, I'll go the rifle. I'll take the bow. I take the bow every time I go anyway. Like I did take it on this trip too. But I definitely want to take the rifle just to, I think for where I am as a hunter, I want to get my first deer and give myself the maximum chance to do that. So that's the plan. But I'll take it along too, because at the end of the day, I'm not greedy as well. So if I was to get enough to fill the freezer, I'll probably then get the bow out because I enjoy that just as much too. So it's one of those. Or, who knows, with the thermal might get some properties and knock some meat over, put that in the fridge, and then it might be something, like chasing the bow closer to home or whatever.
But,
I got a question before we go. What is, when this garden that you're doing, are you cooking while you're up there as well?
Mate, it is everything. So
that part of the package?
Absolutely. So you come in, you're there to hunt. There's going to be three of us there. There's going to be two guides and it's going to be three guides basically. I can do, if you want to bring your own, camping gear and do all that, you can, it's fine. I'll give you, there's a discount price for that. But it's a donga setup. Beautiful spot. So it's huge donga setup, four rooms, showers, toilets, running water, hot and cold. So mind you, the closest town is about 12 hours away. So it's very hard to get things in and out. So you basically come, I'll do a safety brief, and we'll basically go hunting, and I've have the vehicles up there. We'll go walk swamps. You can shoot scrub bull, go barra fishing, and like the barra fishing is phenomenal. The Saratoga fishing are phenomenal. Last time I was there, I caught a 92-centimeter Saratoga. It's an impressive fish. I've never seen one that big. The hunting is just, it's out of the world. It's out of this world. We're there to bring you top service. So food, it's bring your own grog. But basically we're going to cook your meals for you. We're going to do everything for you. We're going to be out there a week before you, scouting the pigs, sorting everything out. So it's a trip of a lifetime. basically you're not going to, you know, you're not going to get a trip like this again. So next year's only a very limited spots. I've already got one basically booked up. So I've only got 2 weeks left to book out. And then probably start after next year, probably start looking at 2025 and looking at a bigger season, try and work out the how big of a season we can do. Because obviously you've got kids and everything, but my family members are also willing to take on a bit more of the load and see what we can do. But, yeah, it's very if anyone wants to be, and get involved, and when I say get involved, anyone wants to come up and shoot some pigs and stuff, send me an email address and I'll send you the package details. So,
it's exciting, man. Well done. I'm keen to see.
Yeah, it's something I've always wanted to do. I've done guiding, but now this is a different, just different kettle of fish. I'm running the show. So, yeah, it's always something I've always wanted to do and have my own, basically my own place to go and do it. And
that's awesome.
When the opportunity came up, I was just so happy. So, next year is basically, it starts, it's going to happen. And we're all pumped. Me and my dad and my brother are all super pumped. So basically we've got menus written down and, looking at mud crabs and prawns on the menu and beautiful steak. It'll be a trip of a lifetime. So I've seen what to do and what not to do, and I've taken all that away. And, I've been to a lot of camps hunting-wise, and I've kind of seen how things work best. So I'm going to bring all that together. And same with the old boy. The old boy's been hunting his whole life and, it's just his element, barra fishing, all that. I never met a guy who caught so many meter barra. My younger brother's just a freak. So there'd be a big lagoon there with a 4.6 Renegade. So we'll have the setup. It's all going to just be mint.
How good.
Yeah. So basically, if anyone wants to get involved, just got to email me or talk to me and I'll give you an email address and we'll talk through packages and stuff. So we're not going to build a website we're not going to build a website at the moment. We'll just do it through socials because there's only 2 more weeks to fill up and I don't think they'll last very long personally. But once we fill them, we'll probably look at the year after. I'll get a few more photos and I've got a cameraman coming up next year with us and he's basically just going to film both weeks and make it look super professional. And the year after, I'm planning on doing some education courses up there, so young hunters or hunters that haven't got much experience, it's a perfect place to learn. It's forgiving in a way. Basically, you come out of there with a good pig, lots of good pigs, and you catch yourself a couple of barra. So can't wait. So it's time for
ticking
better.
A lot of boxes there. Sounds good.
Yeah, that's it. So well, let's call it a day because I'm struggling to talk as it's so 5 o'clock starts for me. Don't work too well for the brain cells. Maddie, thanks so much for coming on, mate. We're keen to hear the next podcast and get you on again. Probably get you on with Cody next time. You guys can fight it out. So no, but thank you very much for coming on, mate. Any last words before we call it?
Mate, no, I've had a great time. I always love chatting to you. So thanks for having us. It's been good.
Lovely, mate. Thank you very much. And before you go, how can we find you if they don't know who you are?
Instagram, Oz Hunting and Beyond, and Australian Hunting and Beyond podcast on Facebook. There's a website there too. Just chuck it into Google and yeah, I'm on all the podcast platforms too. If you haven't had a listen, check it out. And if you like it, give us a like and a subscribe. I'm getting to the same thing, mate. Yep. End of the night. Need some sleep. But check it out. If you like it, sweet.
Yeah, no, very much. I'll have all the details of Matt's podcast in the – God, I can't talk now. I will have all the Matt's details in the podcast details below. So make sure you both give us 5 stars. Head over to Matt's podcast and 5 stars and write a ripper review. Listen to his last two. They're phenomenal. Listen to all of them, actually. Number 4 is a really good episode. personally. But thanks very much, mate, for coming on.
Mate, anytime, and appreciate the kind words.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. See you, mate.